This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Tonight, Dromore West's Keelan Kilrehill on his national cross-country title gold medal run in Irvinestown last Sunday. He now gets ready to lead the Irish team at the European Cross-Country Championships in Turkey next month. Tis the season for Culleira Strandhill. The men's Gaelic footballers are getting ready for a first-ever Connacht Senior Club final on Sunday week. The women are packing tonight for a flight to the Netherlands tomorrow ahead of Saturday's All-Ireland Club quarter-final against Paris Bordeaux Gaels. Sligo pro surfer Gearóid McDade on his magnificent seven at the Irish Nationals, and it's Bog Road against the Sligo Road, Ballina Road against the Mountain Road. Tubbercurry's Town League is back. Yeah, and we think Ballina Road holds the Town League title from the last time it was played at some stage back in the 1990s. I wonder, does anybody still have the trophy from back then? Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan, and here are the contact details by WhatsApp or text. It's 083 3500 530 by email. sport@oceanfm.ie will get us, and on Twitter you'll find us at Ocean FM Sport. So, coming up, Aisling Brown on Culleira Strandhill's trip to Maastricht in the morning. Gearóid McDade on ending Andy Hill's long-standing record for consecutive national senior surfing titles at Tullan Strand recently. Plus Mona McSharry, her reflections on winning Ocean FM Sports Sports Personality of the Year Award for 2024. But first to this man. It's a bit muffled, but that was the public address announcer on the microphone describing the closing meters of last Sunday's 123.ie senior men's race at the National Cross Country Championships on the Castle Irvine Estate in Fermanagh, won emphatically by Dromore West Keelan Kilrehill in the singlet of Moy Valley Athletic Club of Ballina. His time of 23 minutes dead was almost 30 seconds quicker than the man who finished second, Niall Murphy from Ennis. It's Kilrehill's first national senior cross-country title after a number of top six finishes in the race in recent years. And yesterday, Ocean FM Sport paid a visit to Keelan's home in West Sligo to see where this latest success ranks career-wise.
Definitely ranks above everything else. I know I have had some good results through the years, but no, this is head and shoulders above anything, I suppose, especially because it's like purely individual success. Probably makes it even better. Yeah.
Did you have a feeling this was going to be your day?
Yeah, for a good while, right? But then, you start, I suppose, thinking about everyone that's in it. Like, and there is some of the best talent we've had in a long time in it. And you start thinking of all these names, and you're like, yeah, these are going to be hard to beat, obviously. But then, you have a lot of confidence in what I've been doing myself, and I know myself even in training when. Like, when I start surprising myself in training, I know it's kind of going good. And I have had, a few wins recently in different cross-country races, but this was going to be, another huge step up to actually try win this one. But, I had a lot of confidence in myself, which definitely probably was the main thing in winning this, to be honest. So, yeah, no, it was huge.
In previous senior cross-country races, you finished sixth, fifth, fourth. So your trajectory was going in the right direction.
Yeah, it's definitely going in the right direction, all right? I suppose it was probably slower than I'd want, but every year it was getting better, and it was kind of... I probably went into all them years, though, with a different mindset. It was more of, I want to get on the team for Eurocross, and anything else would be a bonus. So, you just kind of make sure you secure your place. But this year was kind of I didn't even think Eurocross, or I couldn't tell anyone what the course was going to be like in Turkey, because it was just all about winning nationals. So, yeah, it's definitely a different mindset, but yeah, it has been. All them years obviously have helped to on Sunday there. So yeah, it definitely makes a difference too that you're going the right direction.
You're still a young man. You turned 24 in September, but I suppose you felt you're at this long enough now. You wanted to target the national senior cross country and win the thing.
Yeah, I just felt like I've been consistently knocking on the door, and I suppose my training's been so consistent for the last few years that you're kind of just waiting for it all to click, and then you see lads you've grown up with, I suppose, winning and doing well, and you want to be running their times. You are a bit envious, and then you're you're kind of waiting for it to happen for you. And then, like, yeah, I suppose Sunday was kind of just like, felt like such a relief in a way that it just was finally, I knew it was starting to click, like, the last 3 months in training, but then, like, you still have to go out and actually show it, so.
So talk me through the race last Sunday on the Castle Irvine Estate in Irvinestown. What was your tactic as you stood there on the start line?
I kind of, like, I knew there was going to be, like, the regular, like, names, like, up the front of it, and, like, you had, like, Greg stepping up for the senior race, so, like, that was, he was going to be, like, probably coming into the, his first year senior as a favourite, and, like, I was probably hoping that Ephraim, he just ran a half marathon record, and I was kind of hoping he'd make it fairly hard early on. And then kind of when I felt he wasn't doing that, I always wanted to kind of encourage the race to go a bit quicker, but I ended up doing more of the work myself than I had planned on. But it's just what happens, I suppose, at the moment. You just go for it, and then you try not to look back down the minute you do.
Defending champion Cormac Dalton was in there as well, but you looked comfortable from a very early stage. Did you feel as good as you looked?
Yeah, probably, yeah. I don't know, like, I couldn't have hoped to feel any better than I did. Like, yeah, it was, like, that first lap, it was just about, I don't want to be in the lead and, like, do as little as possible to kind of save it for that, when I was going to go. But yeah, no, I definitely, like, everything just couldn't have went better, like, feeling and everything, what did feel easy on the day, yeah.
And when you did make your push, what prompted that?
We were going up the hill on the back of the course for the first time, and, like, I knew that's kind of when the race was going to start, and it was me and Ephraim at the right at the front of it, and Ephraim kind of wasn't really pushing on like I wanted, and then I went beside him to kind of encourage him, and, like, he didn't really seem to be in the mood today that he usually is, so I was like, I'm going to have to be the one to do this if anyone is. So yeah, when I went by him, I suppose I just it was just about concentrating and zoning out for 20 minutes and making sure, yeah, try to get rid of everyone.
For a while it was yourself and Nick Griggs at the front, and then you eventually dropped him. Were you surprised to find yourself on your own at that stage of the race?
A bit, yeah, because, like, I had probably gone into the race fully being prepared that, like, they are probably going to be behind you all the way, and you're going to have to just have a bit of confidence that in the last K you will be able to get rid of them. So, like, but definitely got a lot of confidence when I seen it was just me and Nick, because I was like, I was obviously doing something to everyone else in the race when it's just Nick with me. And then it was just about, I suppose, not looking back and trying to get rid of him as well. But yeah, you just try your best just not to look back. And then when you get a gap, you just make sure you go for it. And it's trying to kill their hope as much as anything.
And in the closing quarter of the race, when you're out in front on your own, I'm sure the realisation comes to you that you've got this race. That must be a lovely feeling when you're entering the closing stages to know nobody's going to catch you.
Yeah, that probably only hit me, I suppose, after hit everyone else that I was going to win it, because I was just kind of, I told everyone at the end I was running scared a bit, because you know how good, you have so much respect for the guys that are behind you, because, like, I suppose I've been used to taking beatings from them for years, so you know at any stage they can come back on you, and you don't want to give them any hope either, so you make sure you keep that going. But yeah, around the last corner, I suppose I could kind of be like, yeah, this is...
Are coaches shouting at you, letting you know how far you have of a lead, or do you look back, or what's the tactic there?
Yeah, people were like, oh, did you not hear me? And I was like, no, like, I was just so, I suppose, zoned out. But I heard one or two shouts, and then someone said Nick is gone, and I suppose I didn't even believe that at one stage. But yeah, you do, like, then I go around in some of the quiet parts, you hear so kind of what's going on behind you, because you just don't want to look back either, so...
And then in the home straight, coming up that very last incline towards the finish line, there's that wonderful look of disbelief on your face. You put your head in your hands almost, that kind of moment of disbelief, I'm actually doing this.
Yeah, it was probably, yeah, it was a lot of emotions in one, right, that finish line, because you could kind of, that was the first time it really sank in. But yeah, it was like, it was a mix of everything, probably more relief and, like, yeah, probably couldn't believe the way I won it. I didn't think it was going to pan out like that, but yeah, you never know how it's going to go. So yeah, that was a nice feeling, right?
I don't think I've seen as big a winning margin since you ran that race at Sligo Racecourse for St Farnan's GA Club. There was some GA race where they had a runner from every club for doing a lap of the racecourse, and you left the field for dead. It was that sort of similar distance in a national senior cross country championships.
Yeah, maybe similar, yeah. Yeah, definitely didn't think it was going to be that big a margin, right? But, like, yeah, I think everyone had a good day that day too. There was no betting this day, but sure. Yeah, it was good.
Apart from the gold medal around your neck as national senior cross country champion, you'll be leading the Ireland team now at the European Championships in Turkey next month. What else does this change for your running career, this win?
It definitely just gives you a lot more confidence going forward. Like, at the same time, you try to snap yourself back to reality fairly quick, because like, there's a fairly big queue behind you all the same. But there is a lot of confidence going into even obviously Turkey, but like even after that, I'm still like going to move on to the roads in January, February, and it like gives myself a lot more confidence in the times I can run. If like Efren Bahini ran 60 for the half, and like same McCormick Dalton, I know how quick he's run for 10k, and it's just like, yeah, you kind of have a bit more confidence you can run similar times to them now, because like up to now I haven't got near them in any distance on the track or road. So yeah, it's like definitely gives you a bit more confidence that way as well.
Yeah. Do you feel your prime is still in front of you?
Yeah, I have to, I suppose. But no, I do, yeah. I feel like I'm only kind of starting like to reap the rewards of like 3 or 4 years work, where like you're putting in like a lot of mileage and you might not see the difference straight away. Like I think endurance running in general is a very patience game, like, and it does take a long time. But yeah, especially for me, I feel like it has. But yeah, it's definitely starting to click a lot better recently, and like kind of moving forward. Yeah, I hope it is.
Is grass cross country your preferred terrain, or do you see yourself becoming a road specialist, or is track competition at an elite level still on your radar?
Yeah, like I'm going to continue to do all three of them next year, but like, yeah, cross country is like primarily where I've just had good results. I feel like I could turn up on a cross country course even if I wasn't in the best of shape, and I still pull out a good result, because I just like the purity of it too. Like, you're just, there's no time, there's no clock hanging over you. There's just, yeah, it's just purely racing. But like, I haven't really touched the road a lot yet, but I think, yeah, like I've always said for the last few years, like that's where my biggest goals will be, and like probably biggest achievements might come from. So yeah, that's going to be starting next year, so that's exciting as well.
Athletics practitioners, the experts, would probably surmise that you would have strong potential in a discipline like the marathon longer term.
Yeah, for years, I suppose, even like when I've been running, it could be 1500s on the track, it's been like everything's probably been gearing towards the marathon, and it is just that endurance that I probably, like, that's what's proven me a lot in the cross country. But like, the marathon is the ultimate goal, and like everything I do is probably tracking towards that. But yeah, I have a bit to do over the shorter distance first to try to get down times down there, but yeah, that's the ultimate goal, right?
Growing up as a kid here in West Sligo, we're talking to you in your home here on the road to Eastkey. Who were the athletes that inspired you as a young guy?
Growing up, I suppose it was weird, because I didn't really know a lot about running, like, and it was, I suppose, because it isn't that big around here, I suppose, so it's probably only in recent years that I kind of have like really learned, like, some of the greats of Irish running, like. But I got to actually meet John Tracy there in September, so that was nice. I got to pick his brain for 30 minutes, but like he's obviously one of the huge ones growing up, like.
You've yet to come home with as much dirt on a singlet or his legs as John Tracy did in 1979. Would you like to emulate that sort of target one day?
Yeah, because we were actually celebrating. It was celebrating that cross country team when I met him, like, and we got to watch the videos back. But yeah, it'd be nice to have something like that here one day. So looking at the crowds there and all, that was, yeah, it's definitely something you want to, right?
But in a way, it's kind of nice. You grew up not knowing too much about the athletics heritage. You've kind of forged your own running path.
Yeah, it was purely like, it was funny because like I probably got forced into entering some races just because like dad obviously and mum knew I was good at it, so I'd be kind of nearly forced into some of the community games. And now it's funny how things change. Now it's kind of, you know, I'm pouring my whole life into it, and it's like nothing else really matters. But yeah, it's funny how things change, all right? But all them things when you're growing up still.
Were you a sporty kid as a young fella? Like, was it football or Gaelic, or what were your passions?
Yeah, it was everything but running, really. But like, I still entered the primary schools cross countries, and I do like half decent at them. Like, I wouldn't win all of them, but probably just a bit of natural talent got me through them. But then like, it was just football, hurling and soccer and anything else. But yeah, I was extremely sporty kid, but running kind of only got interested in it in like the later years. But that probably is no harm either. You kind of, especially when it's such an individual sport, it's probably best that you don't start it till too late in life.
We've spoken before about the serious injury you had when you fell off a bike some years ago. You were pretty badly hurt. Contrast where you were then, how many years ago was that, to where you are right now, national senior cross-country champion. That's quite a journey.
Yeah, I think it's almost a decade ago now. But yeah, it was 2014-15. But yeah, it's a huge journey, right? I suppose for me, it's always been probably in the back of my mind since it happened. I know it helped that I was so young when it happened. You do kind of get over it maybe a bit quicker than if it happened to me tomorrow. But yeah, like I very much have put it to the back of my mind and I don't really let it stop me doing anything anyway, so.
Are you 100% healed from those injuries?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say 100%. You always notice, like, and I still have the big scars to prove it, but yeah, like I have certain weaknesses from, but like I have been working on them in the last 3 months with physio aid and Tyke up in Ballina especially has been giving me great help. So I think you could probably see it in the course. I think even the difference in my form and like that has helped a lot. But yeah, there's nothing there. I've no excuse not to fix a lot of them. So it's up to me really.
Well, if you still have weaknesses from that accident, we don't see them on the cross country track. That's for sure. You're now getting ready to be part of the Ireland team for the European Cross Country Championships next month in Turkey. Can you run now kind of free of the shackles because you have that national senior title? Is that kind of a weight lifted in some strange respect?
Yeah, yes and no. Like, yeah, like obviously, especially this year, Nationals was nearly a bigger goal. Like, and it always is because I find Nationals like probably the only race I get nervous for because you feel like you have a lot more to lose, especially when the spots are going for Eurocross and everything. But yeah, I also feel like you want to prove yourself again in Turkey. You don't want to be just a flash in the pan either. Like you, yeah, it is and isn't, I suppose, yeah, to answer your question, yeah.
And you're back living in Sligo now, pursuing your teaching career. So is it nice being back on your home patch at this stage in your running career?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It felt like a big change, but like not a change at all, if that makes sense. Like I suppose being back where I started, but it's been a long time since I've trained here full-time, so... No, I've loved every minute of it. Yeah, it's nice being back. We train in Belique up in Ballina a lot, so we're up there 3-4 times a week. But yeah, no, yeah, I'm enjoying it so far, and it's not doing me any harm. So,
and of course, finally, Moy Valley Athletic Club have been part of your running life. Of course, that's the singlet you wear. They've been so good to you over the years as you've developed as an athlete.
Yeah, no, they've been great, and it's been great. Back at training now with them, like every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Philip Finnerty's watching over at Snowbay. Yeah, they're obviously a huge support to me as well, so along with everyone else. So, no, yeah, it's been great.
Well, Mayo can have the singlet. Sligo's still claiming you as one of their own. Yeah. Keelan Kilrehill, congratulations.
Thanks, Austin. Thank you.
Keelan Kilrehill, National Senior Cross Country Champion. And, of course, a great run last Sunday as well from Letterkenny AC's Anne-Marie McGlynn, the Offaly native who's made Donegal her home, winning the women's race in equally impressive style. And the European Cross Country Championships, or Eurocross, they'll take place on Sunday, the 8th of December in Turkey. Well, next to an incredible few weeks for Calera Strandhill GAA and LGFA Club in Sligo. Last Sunday, just a fortnight after retaining the homeland Sligo Men's Senior Football Championship title, the team produced this finish to their Connacht Club semi-final against Mayo champions Ballina.
So Evan Regan with the first penalty, Keelan Hart in the goal. Here comes Evan Regan and he rolls it home confidently. So the Stephenites lead 1-0 in the penalty shootout as up comes Niall Murphy. What a dramatic day he's had. So influential. Spent 10 minutes in the sin bin during extra time and then reappeared to save the day facing David Clark, the 40-year-old Stephenites goalkeeper. Here comes Niall Murphy, and there is the equalising goal. Sends David Clark the wrong way as Keelan Hart waves his arms from side to side and saves from Conor McStay. Will he guess right, Keelan Hart? He got down low to his left, and he pushes Conor McStay's effort away from goal. And it's Conor Burke that's going to take their second penalty. Conor Burke player. Against David Clark. He has the soccer experience and he makes it count brilliantly. Oh, terrific finish from Conor Burke into the top corner. Coolera lead 2-1 in the shootout after Conor McStay's miss. All eyes on Pádraig O'Hara. Keelan Hart again, his arm swaying Bruce Grobbelaar style side to side, but O'Hara pops it past him into the corner. Clark in the goal. O'Mahony sends Clark the wrong way. And you mentioned Barry O'Mahony's soccer experience earlier, Tommy. You could see it there very much in high definition.
Absolutely. Well, certainly he proved the management right by getting him in there for the last couple of seconds to get him on the pitch for the penalties.
Well, Frank Irwin has played a lot of soccer as well, and here he comes for the Stephenites and roofs it. Oh, very quick run up and low and hard and under Clark. Well, Leo Doherty, I think we were all waiting for him to start his run up, and then all of a sudden he was striking the penalty, and David Clark just couldn't get down quick enough. If there were any daisies there, he would have cut them. It's 4-3 to Coolera Strandhill with Niall Feeney to take the fifth penalty for the Stephenites. He has to score. Niall Feeney against Keelan Hart under the goalkeeper and into the back of the net, and that collective gasp you can hear in the background was the sound of hearts in mouths, because that was oh so close to being saved by Keelan Hart. But it's now 4-4. But Ross Doherty has this kick, Tommy, to send Coolera Strandhill into the Connacht final.
Yeah, well, if he can emulate what his brother has done, Coolera Strandhill will be in a Connacht final. Huge position and situation for them. As I said, Ross and Leo plays a lot of soccer during off season with Strand Celtic.
Here comes Ross Doherty, this to win it.
Mike Finnerty and Tommy Breheny describing last Sunday's penalty shootout win against Ballina Stephenites. Coolera Strandhill winning it 5-4 after the sides finished level, 9 points apiece after extra time. The Connacht Club final is going to be at Markovich Park on Sunday week against Pádraig Pearses of Roscommon. It's a 1-15 throw-in. But before all that, the club's women's Gaelic footballers fly out to Amsterdam in the morning and then drive on to the Dutch city of Maastricht to play Paris Bordeaux Gaels of France in an All-Ireland Junior Club football quarter-final on Saturday afternoon. This following on from their first ever Connacht Club Championship title success in Swinford a few weeks ago when they beat Galway champions St. Firsies. Aisling Brown is Coolera Strandhill Club PRO.
Look, Austin, this is really, it's a chance of a lifetime. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and our club, our community, our parish, the county of Sligo and beyond, everyone has got involved. Everyone has rode in to help in the organisation. So many people are involved in getting us from, I suppose, from Ransborough Park to Maastricht. And it's such an exciting journey. Obviously, our men are, are riding the crest of a wave as well. But it's just, it's phenomenal. The excitement, the nerves, the tension. But I think in our club, and certainly the hinterland, like, it has raised people's spirits. It's exciting. This is such a, November is that kind of a month. But this has just given people a real sense of joy. We have so many family members, so many neighbours, locals, people involved in the parish travelling with us tomorrow for the weekend, and it really, really is a once in a lifetime. We're so excited.
It's a bit like serve and return between the women's and the men's team. The men say we're getting to the county final. The women say, well, we won the county final. The men say we're getting to the Connacht final. The women say, well, we won the Connacht final. Now we're in the All-Ireland series. It must be great crack.
It is, and I suppose there is that close connection. There's so many connections between the men's team and the ladies' team. But I think for the players, they're concentrating on their own journey and playing their own games and the matches and their training and keeping focused like that. For the rest of us who are involved in the club, it's so exciting and it's great fun, and it's a real sense of people coming together, and for for Kalera, for Kalera Strandhill, the club, and the peninsula. It's just a wonderful, wonderful time. And I suppose anything that brings joy to people, brings people together, and sport, and brings people happiness, and moments like these, it's just a fantastic, it's really fantastic, you know. So we are really enjoying it, albeit a very busy time. It's a fantastic time. And we are so grateful to all the support that we have got as a club. I know that the players, men's team and the ladies' team are so grateful, and it does encourage. Every flag you see, every piece of bunting red and white, every good wish that comes on social media or from our local press, of course, and radio have been fantastic. All of that support encourages our players and encourages the club in general. And really, it's inspirational times for young players and young boys and girls looking up at all these wonderful men and women, you know, with such success. And so I suppose it's not even the success. It's the dedication. It's the commitment. It's the pride in wearing your club jersey. It's the pride in where you're from, the pride in your parish. It's the pride in your family. And, you know, for all those young boys and girls looking at that, it's really inspirational. Like the local teams, the local schools, Strandhill and Ransborough, the players have gone there with the cups and everything. And those children were so excited, as were the staff, you know. And it's just, it's really, really a wonderful, wonderful time. And anything that encourages young people to get involved in sport, to make a commitment, to follow through, all those wonderful, wonderful, all that wonderful learning for younger people as well. It's great. So we are really, really delighted. We are so honoured that we, as a club, that we have made such progress. And in 1 year, it's we haven't been at home. There's no weekend that any of us have been at home, but that's okay. And tomorrow, our junior ladies, we fly out from Dublin to head to Maastricht to play an All-Ireland Junior Ladies quarterfinal. Who would have thought? What club would want, every club would want to be able to say that? And it's fantastic. It's historical, and I think we do not forget it or take it lightly. We know that it's historical. We're very proud of our ladies team, we're very proud of our men's team, and we are just proud to support them and to do what we can for them as a club and as an executive. And I know that on Saturday in Maastricht, and I think we have lots of family members and followers coming with us, what a proud day it's going to be for everyone. And also have to acknowledge the support of other clubs in the county, in Sligo and beyond. People have just been wonderful, and that is so important, and we have to acknowledge that as well, Austin.
Aisling Brown, Club PRO of Kalera Strandhill, GAA and LGFA, who'll be part of our commentary team in Maastricht this Saturday. We're going to bring you that game live online on oceanfm.ie from 2 p.m. and that's courtesy of Kilcoyle Construction. When we come back, Sligo pro surfer Gearóid MacDaid on his magnificent seven.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Still to come, Barry Brennan will join us to talk about the return of the Tubbocurry Town League to South Sligo after a gap of many, many years. Great excitement building for the first round of matches under the lights of Kilcoyne Park in Tubbocurry this Saturday night. But first to Sligo pro surfer Gearóid MacDaid, who retained his national senior men's surfing title at Tullan Strand at the recent Irish Nationals. And that gold medal success was his seventh consecutive national senior title. And that's a record. It's never been done before. MacDaid's been talking to Ocean FM Sport about his seven in a row.
So the record before this was six. So this kind of was a pretty important one to me. To get to seventh, it was Andy Hill who had the record for like 30 years. So yeah, I've won like plenty before, but this one was probably the most like memorable, because beating a record like that is amazing.
Was it on your to-do list, this record?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like a couple of weeks ago, the contest was meant to be on, and I was like really badly injured, so I was going to miss it. And I was super lucky that it went flat and they had to postpone it and move it. So I got very lucky, and yeah, I'm delighted that it happened.
Yeah, I saw you being chairlifted into a cafe or a bar on social media a few weeks ago when you had got injured. You hurt your shin, isn't that right?
Yeah, so I literally, like all the big waves I've surfed, I've never hurt myself that much. I'm surfing small little wave in Bundoran and did a little air and landed on my board and just like blew my shin open. And it was the weirdest, strangest injury of my life. Definitely pretty gruesome. So, yeah, I'm happy that I'm back after it and it's all good.
And what a recovery to win the national title again in Tullan Strand against some up-and-coming talented young servers from Clare and Owen Murphy from Bundoran.
Yeah, exactly. The kids down in Clare, they're definitely stepping it up now. So that was definitely added pressure knowing that they were coming behind me. And, like, I won the Nationals when I was 16 and Josh, who came second, is 15 now, so it's another goal of mine to stop him winning it till after he's 16, so we'll have to keep that going.
You're still a relatively young man, 27, but do you feel the kind of senior statesman now at this stage in Irish surfing?
I don't feel like I'm old, but then, like, I look at it and I'm like, oh, I actually am, like, the old guy now, because I look at when I was 16, 17, at who was my age at that time. To me, they were, like, so much older, and, like, when I think about that, I'm like, oh, I actually am like the older guy in the contest now. I'm not the young kid anymore, so it's good though.
Finally, what's on the horizon for you in the new year?
Just kind of training. We got the Europeans and the Worlds next year again. Our Europeans is every 2 years, so that was last year I came second, and kind of the main goal is to try and, well, be the second and win the Europeans, and then the next 4 years for the qualification for the Olympics is a big thing. So they haven't released how the qualification is going to be yet, but when that gets released, that'll be a big part of my goals and plan.
Eyeing another Olympic cycle, Garóg MacDéid, Sligo's pro surfer, after his seventh consecutive senior men's surfing title at the recent Irish Nationals on Tullan Strand. The 2024 Ocean FM Sports Awards in association with EJ Menswear took place in the Radisson Blue Hotel in Spa in Sligo last Saturday night. 15 awards celebrating local sporting achievement and contribution across Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim during the past 12 months. And the final award of the night was the Overall Sports Personality of the Year Award, which was announced by one of the night's special guests, impressionist Conor Moore.
Can't do an impersonation of her, but it's Mona McSherry.
Just before we invite up family members to accept the award on her behalf, you know at this stage where she is at the moment, in switch-off mode in the United States. But last weekend, ladies and gentlemen, she flew into Dublin from Las Vegas for 36 hours to attend the Paris Olympic Ball. So we jumped into a fast car and headed to the capital to meet her. Well, Mona, congrats on receiving this award tonight. How do you reflect on this special year for you?
I mean, just pure happiness. It's so nice to receive awards like this that allow me to think back to, you know, the amazing experience that I had at the Olympics. Because I do think when you move on, you kind of tend to sometimes move on to the next thing and forget. So it's a great moment for me to just be able to reflect and really think back to the amazing things that this summer had in store for me.
For so many Ocean FM listeners, yours was the sports moment of the year. You're travelling in America at the moment. Do you still think about it often?
It is. It's funny. It does come into my head sometimes. Like, we'll be sitting in the car driving somewhere or, you know, just relaxing. And I do think back to maybe a flashback of the Olympics or, you know, hanging out with my family afterwards or even the homecoming. And just it does feel like a fever dream. Like it didn't really happen. But I have the memories and the pictures and it did happen. And I think that's, it just shows how special and magical it was.
And you're keeping your medal with you on your travels. No one's going to take it away from you.
Yes, of course. Had to bring it with me. So just it sits safely in the glove box of the van. And it's there in case I ever need to take a peek and remind myself of what happened.
Well, Mona, we're delighted to see you receive your three sports awards tonight. Perhaps you'd like to finish by saying a few words to the Radisson Hotel.
Hello, everybody at the Radisson Hotel. I hope you're having a great night. I'm sorry I couldn't be there to join you tonight, but I just want to say a quick thank you to everyone. All your support has been outstanding. So excited that I got nominated for not one, not two, but three awards. It just means so much to me and shows the support that I have from you guys at home. And I'm so grateful for that. So I hope you all have a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mona McSharry. For the second year in a row, our Sports Personality of the Year. And let's invite one last time her parents, Aidan and Viola, to the stage to accept the Sports Personality of the Year award on our Olympic bronze medalist's behalf.
Yeah, a good night for Mona McSharry, claiming three awards as well as the Personality of the Year award. She received the Listener's Sports Moment of the Year accolade as chosen by Ocean FM listeners, and also Female Sports Person of the Year. Quick reminder of the other winners of the night: the Ocean FM Team of the Year, the Leitrim Intermediate All-Ireland winning Gaelic footballers. Club of the Year went to Sligo Rowing Club. Johnny Garrity of Leitrim LGFA took Coach of the Year. The International Award was won by European gold medalist on the track, Chris O'Donnell of North Sligo AC. Sports Volunteers of the Year, the Sligo Rovers husband and wife team behind the scenes, Damien and Mairead Grimes. School of the Year was won by Abbey Vocational School, Donegal Town. Louise Hart from Mercy College Sligo took the new School Teacher of the Year award. The Red Oak Award, in memory of Sligo footballer Red Oak Murphy, for Young Sportsperson of the Year. It was won by the multi-talented Anna McDaniel of Mercy College Basketball, Calera Strandhill LGFA, Sligo LGFA and Sligo Rovers Fame. The Ocean FM Male Sportsperson of the Year award was won by paracyclist Martin Gordon. The Special Achievement Award went to Alan Palgan-Martin, who ran the Warriors One twice in the one day, one after the other, to raise money for the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association. Jamie Murphy from Sligo Rovers took the Diversity and Inclusion Award. And the Hall of Fame was a special award on the night, awarded posthumously to two great sporting friends, Tommy Gorman and John O'Mahony. And the podcast from the awards ceremony will be going up online in the usual places over the coming days. Finally tonight, after a gap of many years, the Tubbocurry Town League is making a return to South Sligo this Saturday under the lights of Kilcoyne Park in Tubbocurry. It's a seven-a-side Gaelic football tournament which will run over the next five weekends. You don't have to be a member of the local GA club. It's all about playing with the neighbours against the neighbours. Event organiser Barry Brennan has been telling me a little bit about the history of this event.
It's in the 90s, and it's been spoken about for the last couple of years, really, and this year we've decided to give it a lash. Basically, I suppose what's prompted us is the fact that there's lots of new people from all over living in Tubbocurry now, and we're trying to reach out to the community and get neighbours talking to one another and create a bit of fun and, you know, to a bit of activity on these long winter nights coming into Christmas. And there was always good rivalry when it was ran before between all the roads in Tubbocurry. So I suppose, in a nutshell, really, it's about reaching out to the community, showing that Tubbocurry GA is about the community, and that, you know, we want to show we're open for business to the community as well, but also get people talking. There's people living next door to one another nowadays that don't really know each other, so this is an opportunity for creating that kind of stronger spirit within the parish and within the town of Tubbocurry. That's the main reason of it.
Sure. And it's going to be townland against road, or street community against the neighbours. It's very local.
Yeah, that's it. Essentially, we've kind of rounded it down to the roads, really. The Sligo Road, the Ballina Road, the Bog Road, as they call it, the Charlestown Road and the Sligo Road, if I've not mentioned that one already. But essentially, it's the roads, really. That's the easiest way of doing it. We have six teams, and whatever road you're kind of nearest, or if you're living on it, that's what you do. We have a Facebook page with all the details. You simply sign up, give your name, your number, and the road that you'd like to participate on. And really, that's it. It's as simple as that. It's a seven-a-side game, and we're kind of hoping just to have a lot of crack, really. That's the main thing behind it, a bit of fun.
And you don't have to be a GAA club member to take part?
Not at all, Austin. As I said there's lots of people living in Tubbocurry now that probably have no connection to GAA at all, and this is a good way of maybe getting introduced to the GAA. You know, it's, as I said, it's light-hearted, it's good fun, and there's plenty of people living in Tubbercurry that have nothing to do with Tubbercurry GAA. They're living from Curry and Tullastran and Cunacool, and all the parishes around Tubbercurry are living there. It's open to everybody. As I said, the main fundamental part of this is to get people interacting and having a chat. It's nothing to do with your own club affiliation. Just if you're living in Tubbercurry and you're a resident there, that's the only criteria that has to be met.
And you said it's about a bit of crack, which I'm sure it will be, but I know these Tubber fellas, Barry, they get quite competitive. How competitive do you think this town league might actually become?
Well, funny enough, I text one or two lads about that, saying it's only a bit of crack and a bit of fun, but there's a few messages coming back to me telling me it mightn't just be crack, there could be a bit of rivalry, all right. There's definitely that there. I think, if I'm correct, I think the Ballinara Road won it on the last occasion, subject to correction on that, but I think there was a lot of jibing going on in the WhatsApp groups about that already. So the rivalry has started already, Austin, on that front. There's no doubt about it.
And your home ground, Kilcoyne Park, is going to be the hub for the Tubbercurry Town League. This will be a Saturday evening event for the next few weeks, will it?
Yeah, that's correct, Austin. It's going to be on a Saturday evening. And I suppose, again, it goes back to a lot of hard work that's been done in our club over the last period of years, really. We have a fully floodlit second pitch now, so we have two fully functioning pitches in Tubbercurry now, and the floodlights have proved to be, you know, great in terms of attracting other teams that require that in the winter time. And also for this type of activity, it's perfect. We can, you know, light up the pitch and light up the community, and that's kind of the main thing behind this. And a lot of work has gone in from a lot of people to get the club where it is now. We've two great pitches and a walk path around the pitch, and it's there's a lot of work done, but a lot more to do. But yeah, we want to showcase that to the community as well, Aston.
Barry Brennan with a lowdown on the Tubbercurry Town League, which makes a welcome return to the South Sligo Town this Saturday night at Kilcoyne Park, 8 p.m. start, 7-a-side tournament. And there's still time for you to get in on the act if you'd like to join one of the local road teams, or maybe put in a team yourself. You'll need about 12 players for the 7-a-side, roll on, roll off subs. And the entry form is online on the Tubbercurry GAA Club Facebook page. You'll find the links there and all the details. A reminder, finally, this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie or wherever you get your pods. Search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week. Same time, same place.